Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Adjacent. You're listening to the Sports Adjacent.
Okay, I like that. I just learned something new today. Adjacent.
With Jason Leisure and Russell Dorsey on the House of L Network.
We're doing everything I dreamed of as an adjacent.
Are you rolling right now?
Yes, but no at the same time.
No, he's
I've
not.
I've been rolling locally. So.
Okay. All right. No, I meant rolling like, is it recording?
Yeah, I know.
Because the state of Illinois requires that all parties know when they're being recorded, Tony. It's a two-party consensus.
Until your ass out and somebody sues you because you haven't given them proper notification that they were being recorded.
Oh, I've done that.
That's good.
You should be proud about that.
Yeah. Get all your admissions of crimes. Get them all out here in the pre-show meeting, please.
I'm not going to say anything specific.
It's just us. Yeah, no, you just did.
I didn't mention anything specific. I said a major entity, and I've done it before.
Okay.
You can get sued, and your entity can get sued.
And you will definitely lose because it's pretty straightforward. The law is pretty clear.
It was an individual, and it was about an entity.
Stop. So just stop, please. Just stop. We don't want to be subpoenaed.
No, I'm not going to court for Tony.
Yeah.
I'm rolling on Tony. Yup, he did that shit.
Y'all wouldn't go to court for me? Come on.
No. F you, Tony.
I will lie on stand for you guys.
You just admitted to recording somebody without their...
Yeah, that's me, though.
That's against the law.
Russ, the less we know about this, the better off we are, buddy.
I take full accountability for my actions, but...
No. Do this on golf show or something. Don't do this here, please.
But for one of my friends? Oh, yeah. I'd lie to the judge's face. Russ did
so
not
you,
do
you'd
it.
Go to, you'd go to jail for anybody.
Not for anybody. Come on, my friends. I'm a real one.
Give us the short list. Let's
hear. Yeah, I want to hear the short list too. Yeah.
My brothers, my fiance. Yeah.
Well, we assume family.
Oh, okay.
Russ, what about Lawrence?
Jason, Lawrence.
Me yeah. Or Goff? Which Jason?
Well, both Jason.
Black Jason.
Black Jason.
Well, most people in my sphere, whenever they say Jason, I'm always like thrown off at first because it doesn't sound like it's about me. And then I found out it's not, it isn't about me. They're referring to Goff.
Herb Lawrence. Okay.
But I made the cut.
Yeah, you did.
You would lie under oath for me.
Mm-hmm. Herb Lawrence. Thanks, man. Wow. Rick Camp.
Okay. It's kind of a long list. Ken, I don't feel special.
Ken Davis, Damon Spruill.
I love Damon's and Ken. Oh my God, I understand that one.
You love him enough to lie under oath, Russ?
Oh, no. Oh, very few. if any, make my list. So,
have you said Russ's name? Russ make the cut?
I didn't make the cut.
Yeah, you did. I said Russ early.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear it.
Yeah, after you said my phone.
Yeah, I think he's lying under oath right now.
Right now.
Oh, you can go back and rewind it. I said it. I said Russ.
Jason, who's on your short list of people that you would lie under oath and or go to jail for?
I think it'd be anybody that I'm close with. Like, unless you did something so bad. Like, what are we talking about? What'd you do here, Russ? Did you cheat on your taxes or did you murder somebody? If you just cheated on your taxes, like, I'll help you. Here's my thing.
If you're in court under oath and they are talking to one of my friends, it's probably at least a felony.
I don't want to get into splitting hairs on felonies, but
you're like, yeah, what's felony?
If they got you for tax evasion, Russ, I got you back. I'm with you on it.
Russ, check your market.
If you did something truly reprehensible, I don't know. A tougher call.
Where's the line for me? I mean, I need the context. Yeah,
who doesn't make the cut, Tony? Like when they do the NCAA bracket and they do like, you know, first four out. Mm-hmm. Like who's right there next, almost making it, but not quite. Who are you not quite going to lie under oath for?
Testing.
That is a good question.
Because like, who do you like, but you don't like them quite enough. They're friends, but they're not lie under oath friends.
JJ? I really got to think about that. Ooh, JJ.
Adam Hogue? Are they like right there on the line?
Oh, man. Yeah, they might be right there. Just because like I know of them, right? And I only worked with them for the time that they were at NBC. So I was like, man, just a couple more months.
That's whack, Tony. A
couple more months.
You can't do that because JJ, that's not JJ's fault that they let him go.
Hey, I mean, circumstance. I don't have constant communication as I once did with JJ to grow the relationship as it once was. But
Tony, you work at NBC Sports Chicago. It's not like a gang. Like,
oh, what do you mean? Gang. Let's go.
You can still be loyal and affiliated to JJ.
Like, I mean,
it doesn't work there.
Oh, don't tell me Russ wasn't a gang member at the Sun Times.
Don't you first talking of all,
about you wanted all the smoke with the Trib.
What are you talking about?
Black people that work at the Sun Times, Tony. I'm not going to say I was gang. Second of all, listen, man, like being at a workplace is cool and having friends at your job is cool. But like I say it on this podcast all the time, at the end of the day, we all out here trying to get ours. And at any point, like our good friend JJ found out in Lawrence, if that entity wants to say goodbye to you, they will. And is it gang when you get fired?
Oh, no. Then
we're laid off.
Oh, no. Then I'm a part of the other gang. And now they get all the smoke, too.
I worked at a place, and companies like to talk to you about loyalty, mm-hmm. about you being loyal to them, mm-hmm. but they don't always like to talk so much about them being loyal to you. Mm-hmm. And they got rid of my boss. This was in one swoop of cuts. And he was the best boss I ever had. And then they got rid of one of our columnists, was still doing great work, had done great work the whole time he'd been there. And everybody liked the guy. Everyone was upset that both of these people were out. And then they call us in for a meeting and they start this meeting with like, hey guys, listen, this is the time for us to all come together. We're a family here. I'm like, what? A family? Hey, you know what? Hey, look, listen. In my family, we don't just put grandpa out on his ass, okay? That's not how my family works.
It's the grandpa out back.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You can't fire people and then talk about some, hey, we got to come together as a family. Yeah. That's kind of savage.
That is savage. It's like gaslighting, like for a lot of these companies, right? It's like, you know, they want the, you know, the full buy-in from, you know, everybody involved, which does help the environment. You know, when everybody can get along, where everybody is in there for each other, like it does. There are benefits to that happening. But when business happens, then it's like, hey, you know, it's just business. But we still family, though. And it's like, fam, you just cut off the supply of resources I needed to bring up my real family. So like it's funny how that work and how they send out their people to do it. You know, it's like, man, like, I don't want to hate the, you know, the nice HR person, you know, but hey, man, they got to take care. You know, that is an interesting conversation.
Respect me and everyone else enough not to try to tell us this is some kind of good thing. It's not a good thing.
Yeah.
Like, come on, who's buying that? Anyway, let's get going. Welcome to Sports Adjacent. I'm Jason Leisure. My co-host, Russ Dorsey.
And we are
family. Here. We're family, yeah, for now, Tone. We'll see.
Oh, damn. Oh, my God.
Me and Russ are a family.
We are. We are.
I'm committed to Russ on this show. And our producer, Tony Gill, is here also. I have a lot of Tony Gill-related items on the agenda today, Russ.
The fact that we're recording at 2 a.m. because Tony wanted to do relationship stuff.
That's one of them. I would like to discuss Tony's haphazard style of communication, where he asks us, did we get the segment idea that he sent us? And neither of us was aware that we were being sent a segment idea, because all he did was forward us a tweet that he saw.
I'm not going to lie to you, Tony.
With no explanation.
For somebody who works in media, you have awful communication skills.
Yeah. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. And I also want to, Russ, I want to bring the people in to an experience that I richly enjoy, which is watching any kind of basketball game with Tony Gill. It is almost like,
oh, at my house.
Well, there have been other times, but yes, the three of us hung out last Friday and we're watching some basketball. So I have several Tony Gill related items I'd like to get to. Stop giggling for a second. Wait, just thought, I can see your face. Like, I know you so well, man. I can see your face. And you just thought of like eight things all at once.
Yes. Yeah.
It wasn't just one, it was like eight. It was eight things all at once. And Russ is going to be out for like the next minute and a half right now while he tries to process all of this. But in the meantime, Sports Adjacent is brought to you by Sheets and Giggles. We love them. You know what I saw on there, Russ, today? I saw that they have a feature. I don't know if this is new or if maybe I just noticed it, but it's a feature called like create your own bundle. I never have the names right. Build your bedding bundle. So you can go to their website. You go through our link and you'll get 23% off, which is a great deal on this stuff. They're awesome. 100% eucalyptus sheets. We love working with these guys because we can tell you guys with no hesitation how good these sheets are. Stop trying to distract me during that. I'm not even going to say the name. He wrote down a name on a piece of paper and held it up. And I'm not even going to say who it was because we're going to get into that issue. We're going to get into that issue in a minute. But anyway, look, Sheets and Giggles actually make this really easy for you. Go to sheetsgiggles.com/SA and click build your bundle. And it's how you get your entire bed set up. So if you want more than just sheets and you want to deck out the entire bed in Sheets and Giggles stuff, which I have on my bed right now and I love. Russ, you got the duvet or the comforter? Which do you have?
Yeah, I have both the duvet and the duvet cover.
The duvet cover, the sheet set, just awesome 100% eucalyptus sheets. Listen, there's two reasons why you should think about this right now. It's summer, which is incredible here in Chicago. I feel like we're in summer. I feel like I can say it. I'm always hesitant to be like we're out of the woods with winter. But here we are on May 17th, and I'm pretty sure we're good. You could probably wear shorts all the way till October 1st now.
Man, it's 56 degrees outside right now.
Not right now. Okay, but during the day, it was like 70 today, and it's only going to get better. But anyway, these are perfect sheets. I have them on my bed year-round, Russ, but they're really, really perfect for summer when it's hot. And also, like, I know we just did Mother's Day, but Father's Day is coming up next month. Great gift for your dad. You can go on sheetsgiggles.com/SA, and when you use our link, you get an automatic 23% off. Really good deal. And if you do it now, it'll get here in time for sure for Father's Day. You won't screw that up like you screwed up Mother's Day. Russ, do you want to spin the wheel of Tony Gill topics that we want to discuss today? Or do you want to just, or do you just want to pick one? You seem really, we're recording this at 11 o'clock at night on a Tuesday. I have a normal job. I've been working all day. Russ has a normal job. He'll be working. He was working all day today and will do so again tomorrow. You seem like And that's because of Tony Gill. And you seem like particularly hung up on that. Is that what you want to start with?
Oh, no. Well, I mean, I just wanted to let the people know, like, we're usually pretty accommodating because we understand the work environment that all three of us, you know, are lucky enough to be employed in.
All of us, this is like our fourth job.
Correct. But
at different points, it's been like that.
I'm not going to give Tony the benefit of the doubt. It's fine. I was trying to decide if I did or not.
You think for a minute about what you want to ask him.
Okay.
I want to ask him if he just came from his job waiting tables. Because he's in like
a plain
white collared shirt. Yeah, he looks like he just got done, offering the dessert tray to ask people what they want. Why are you dressed this way? Are you wearing pants?
Yes, I had to look more like an adult today.
Okay, because
to handle adult like things for wedding things.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, vendors.
And this is why we're recording at 11.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Marriage things are happening. And along with having multiple jobs, this is like a transitional phase for me personally. So that added aspect, like Jason's settled, right? Like he has his routine, his family has a routine.
Yeah. You know. Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, Tom, my life's so easy. My life's a breeze compared to the hard things that you are going through.
No,
you're right.
Not easy, just less movement from all the different pieces involved. Russ is doing Rush right now. Like, I was being nice.
He's very busy.
I could have said that, but I didn't. That was very, very nice.
He's very busy.
I could have been like, he's out here, you know. I didn't. I stopped.
You could have said all these things.
Yeah, I could have.
Us and the audience are thinking right now.
But it's okay.
Yeah. We would never say that Russ is out. Go ahead.
but me, yeah. You know, I'm integrating another human being, beautiful human being in my life. And so thank you guys, one, for allowing us to come together as a family at this
Who's
time.
Now we're the family?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're all.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
You guys see me at my intimate moments watching a basketball game. There's not a lot of people that have seen me, you know, watch a basketball game.
Let's watch the wording there, right? tuning into your intimate moments.
If you watch a basketball game with me, it's a very intimate time.
It is, that's not the word I'd use to describe it at all, but it is entertaining.
It's very like, much so.
You know what it's like, Russ? It's like if you go to a theater show and they do the thing where the performers start coming into the audience. It's almost like that. It's like a fourth dimension because we were at Russ's house Friday night and we were watching Bucks Celtics. And what was the other one? Warriors.
Grizzlies.
In Memphis, Grizzlies, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've watched basketball with Tony before and it is delightful. It is a full-on performance because Tony will, if somebody hits a big shot, let's say Steph Curry hits a big shot, Tony will get up off the couch and act as if he just made the big shot. He will get up and do some kind of celebratory gesture and like point to and or taunt the imaginary crowd that's in the room. Like it is a full
interactive.
Yes, he will gyrate. He will gyrate.
He likes that one, just gyrating around.
There's a lot of gyrating. Yeah. When I the time before that I watched basketball with him, Russ, we were watching the NCAA tournament, and it is maddening for him because there's a lot of bad basketball in college basketball.
Correct.
We're used to watching the NBA, and so there's a lot of frustration and a lot of shouting, and hey, Tony's pretty much just mad at the people on TV the entire game, but. The NBA, when he's watching the playoffs, it's a little more jubilant, but it's also filled with landmines of very, very questionable information. Mm-hmm. So somebody
questionable, he means wrong.
Probably incorrect. So like, for example, somebody makes a big play or someone is having a good night, and I'll say, you know, like, this doesn't really contribute anything to the conversation, but I'll be like, wow, he's having a good night. You know, something really brilliant like that. And Tony will go,
Oh yeah.
And you know what he likes sexually is bleep, 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 bleep.
Yo, first of all, the wild.
I'm like, what?
Like, first of all, we don't even care, bro.
No, we weren't sitting there thinking,
right, I wonder what this guy does sexually. No, never Tony, crossed our minds.
But Tony, it's front of mind for him. which is weird. Oh, also, the fact that he even thinks he knows this is weird. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then in one particular case, Russ, Russ and I are reporters. Russ and I are journalists our entire life. Tony's not a journalist.
I'm not.
He works for a journalistic outlet, but mm-hmm. Tony is not a journalist. No, I will not allow him to be called a journalist.
No, I wouldn't either.
I won't. As a journalist, I'm not even one of the serious journalists. I
made a report before.
I'm a sports writer. No. I'm not on Capitol Hill. I'm not at city council meetings. I'm still a journalist and will not allow Tony to consider himself part of this club.
I went viral one time. Does that count?
That's not what journalism is.
Because the thing you went viral for, Tony, was you overheard something in a basketball.
That's a report. Okay. That's a report.
No, it's not. The whole sentence you said is wrong. I went viral once, so I'm a journalist. Those are not the same thing.
Yeah, no, Tony.
There aren't that many things I'm going to get mad at you about, but I do really care about journalism. Mm-hmm. Even working in the nonsense department of sports. But in one of these cases, Russ, Tony, somebody makes a play. Tony tells us, you know what, this guy, Tony Way, starts telling us what he's of the opinion of the belief that this guy likes in bed, mm-hmm. which, like, what a weird thing to bring up. Mm-hmm. We challenge him on this, as we often do. And we say, mm-hmm. Tony, well, how do you possibly know that?
Mm-hmm. Then I give you my sources.
He usually just says, oh, the dark web or mm-hmm. something like that. But this time he told us the website. Mm-hmm. He said, I saw it on this website. And so Russ, you know, picks up his phone, as any person can do in the world, and, you know, punches it in. Let's look this up on this website and see what it says. The website says, hey, this story we had before is not true.
They even cite themselves and say, yo, that bullshit we reported, it's not even true.
Yeah, like I'm a journalist.
Tony, hey, it's true.
Tony's just blurting it out at parties, like as a conversation starter.
But the problem is, I told Tony, because Tony will just say where he, like the name of the news source, we won't say it. Mm-hmm. And I told Tony, that is like a scum website. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's not true. All they do is sensationalize people's lives, and he continues to get his information from there.
Mm-hmm. They were right, though.
He goes,
they were right that one time.
No, they weren't.
They had it first.
All the time.
And I told you guys.
It's like bullshits all the time.
And then it ended up being right.
This is where he gets his news. This is where he gets his news. He goes, here, go ahead, check out my information. And we do, and the information says the information is false.
That's honest journalism. They're saying, hey,
the story, wrong on this one. Stop it with that. There's no accountability. Honest
journalism.
The story we're reading is like, you may have heard some rumors about this, this, and this that we started. Well, they're not true. Some version of that. So-and-so has been playing a lot better since they started cheating, or a lot worse since they started cheating on their wife. Like, Tony, how do you know that's not in the Wall Street Journal? Right. That's not in any credible, like, you don't know that.
Or this player has an open marriage. You don't know that.
His answer is always like, one of these like three or four websites that are not credible and not worth having their name said here, or Reddit, mm-hmm. which is just a comment board, as far as I understand, unless I'm too old and
plenty of news has been broken on Reddit.
Okay. Or Twitter, which, you know, everything you read there is true. Or sometimes he just tells us, Russ, the streets.
Which means he made it up.
Right.
Or my local barbershop.
You can't live like this, Tony.
Well, one, thank you guys for breaking the circle of trust of, you know, an intimate setting of a basketball game. Oh, thank you guys one for that.
Stop saying intimate.
Appreciate
that. That's your word of the day.
Yeah, that's what he's doing. He thinks if he keeps saying it was an intimate situation with the two of us, he's really happy with that.
But yeah,
Where are you that this whole thing plays well? I enjoy the theatrics. Mm-hmm. I enjoy your performances. I enjoy when Steph Curry hits a three and you get up and celebrate as if you made the three for some reason. That's fun. It's all good fun. Mm-hmm. The rest of it, where is that playing well? Where are you doing that? Like, are you sitting with your parents at home watching a game and you throw that stuff out there and they're like, oh,
Oh yeah,
it's very interesting, young Tony.
Everybody gets a smoke, and I look. The pushback is not a problem to me. I think when I get comfortable in the space, you don't ever see me tweet this stuff out or retweet this stuff. Like, no, this is amongst friends.
Why? What's this stopping you, Tone?
This is
honestly
the fact that you don't know it's true. That's the reason.
Yeah, and you know, it's fun. Why talk about the truth when the lie is funner?
All right, Russ, let me tell you about my Sunday here, man.
Because
okay. I've got a busy house. I'm married. I got 3 kids. I got 2 dogs. It is yard work season. I don't know if either of you are having to do that. I know you're not because you live in an apartment. Tony, I don't know how much of the yard work you have to get into, but like it's a lot of work just to get your yard like up to zero, up to like usable. So I'm doing all this stuff. But so I don't get all that much time, a lot of times to watch basketball. I usually catch highlights or try to catch some of a game or whatever. But I was pumped Sunday. I was like, Sunday is going to be awesome. Sunday, you got Game 7 in the afternoon with Boston and Milwaukee. Game 7 at right after my kids go to bed between Phoenix and Dallas. I'm like, this is perfect. I'm going to have this on in the background for the Milwaukee game while I'm doing stuff or whatever. And then I'm going to get everything settled down in my house at 7. I'm going to pour myself a nice glass of wine, sit down on the couch quietly, and enjoy watching the Suns Dallas game. And it's going to be just a glorious day of game sevens. That's all you ever wait for in the playoffs. And they were both so horrible. They were both like the 2 worst games. I don't know. I'm sure there's been worse games in the playoffs, but neither of them was a game, especially that one at night. So that Dallas-Phoenix game was just, there were people leaving. They were showing like floods of people leaving in the third quarter. And then they were showing people that were still there and they looked like they were just miserable. Like they wanted someone to take them with them.
All right. So the first game, listen, I think Milwaukee was gassed and they got beat by the better team. Cool. Happens in the playoffs. And the other game, right. The other game, when you get at one point down by 50 at the crib in a game 7, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Russ, when you see a game, like when you see it, somebody's got, I think Dallas was up 30 at halftime. I think it was 57-27. We see that in the NBA, even in the playoffs, you're like, I've seen a lot of games where somebody had a 20-point lead in the first half. And it almost inevitably eventually becomes a game. This got worse and worse. It never became a game. Total disaster. Boston beats Milwaukee 109-81 to advance to play Miami. Dallas beats Phoenix 123-90 in a game that was not as close as that score sounds. Correct. One of my favorite things, though, that I'll miss from watching Milwaukee, I love watching Giannis play. I so appreciate his skill and his size and his power. But his little brother plays during garbage time only, and I've never seen anybody in my life work as hard at anything as his brother does, trying to steal a ball and foul someone and play defense during the final minute of a blowout.
So I have one correction to make, and it's funny.
Is it older brother? I'm sorry.
Yeah, Thanasis is his older brother.
Either way.
Yes, Thanasis is the oldest, and the then other, Giannis in the middle, and then Alex, their younger brother.
The other Antetokounmpo player on the Bucks.
I respect
man, that. Man, does he work hard in that garbage time?
My man's trying to keep a job.
No. Charles Barkley always said he has the most secure job in the NBA.
Yeah, I think he's a lot
of players. Man, if you messing up, then you just not.
Tony.
On, man, they, you think Giannis will accept that?
They'll give him a max deal if they have to keep Giannis.
I mean, if he was working hard, if he's not causing a problem. If dude's causing issues, he'd be like, hey, I love Giannis, but your brother, he's messing up. We have to pick him up from another club. Like, if that was the situation, my mans would be out of here. My mans is trying to stick around.
He's an energy guy. You know, get out there, grab some boards.
That's not the time for it. Like, we were sitting, I think this happened Jason, in the game. On, this happened in the game we were watching the other night.
Don't do
where
that.
We're like,
listen,
he's out there calling the people. We're waiting for the game to end. We're like, just let this game end and Thanasis won't let it end. He's out there fouling people.
That's the only time he's going to get on the floor in the playoffs.
You're going to free throw your way back into a down 30?
Maybe.
No.
get himself a bucket in the playoffs. You know how many players wish they had a bucket in the playoffs? He's just trying to get one.
So there was some aftermath, particularly from the Dallas-Phoenix series. And two things came to mind for me is, one, you have Mark Cuban and Lil Wayne going at it. And I wasn't a big fan of this, honestly. So, like, a week after Lil Wayne puts out a tweet taunting Luka, Mark Cuban waits till the series is over and then tweets back at him. 8 days passed between these two tweets.
That's swag.
Come on, man.
That's
have the guts to do it day of.
Fire back day of.
But that's not really what most people are talking about today. Well, in the aftermath of that series, in the aftermath of Phoenix losing, Phoenix was the best team in the league this year. Phoenix was in the finals last year, put up a good fight, came back even better this year. Tony, at one point you were telling me that nothing could stop Phoenix. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all to, like, gotcha. Mm-hmm. Like, you had good reason to think that at the time. Phoenix was, they went 64, 65 games this year. They're incredible. Mm-hmm. And they've got so many good pieces. It wasn't just that they had this great record. They got everything you'd need to win a title. Chris Paul has really been at the center of the fallout from this. And part of that is because over the last four games of this series, he averaged 9 points on seven shots per game. Phoenix loses three out of those four games to lose the series. Pat Beverly, I didn't know he was on ESPN. Was today? Was this week the first time he'd been on? He was on, all right. He had a lot to say about Chris Paul. I'll give you a few of the things he said, Russ, and let's hear what you have to say about that. You're not a huge Chris Paul fan, right?
I mean, I'm not a hater like Pat Biff.
I think you're a neutral, relatively neutral party.
Chris Paul.
My man likes to hit men in the men area.
Tony, you're right. Mm-hmm. I also will never forgive him for that. I will. Mm-hmm. I also will never let that go.
That's one.
He does have a bad habit. Yeah. He does have a bad habit.
I can't
of doing that.
Co-sign that. Yeah.
Pat Beverly says that nobody worries about Chris Paul when they play the Suns, that he has finessed the game to get all the petty calls, that he should have fouled out in games 6 and 7, that he literally can't guard anyone. Pat Beverly says that Chris Paul, 7 times all NBA first team, and took it one step further by literally calling him a cone.
That was funny, but that was a bit too close.
He's not right.
He almost
he's
said the
right
word
at all
on national television.
What did you say?
I said I was made uneasy by that use of that term because that's awfully close to another word that we don't say in front of the other
mixed company.
In front of mixed company,
he was literally saying in front of mixed company. Cone like a traffic cone tone.
Yeah, I know, but it's still close.
Thank you, Tony. So hearing Pat Bev do the whole car wash on ESPN, like they were licking their chops watching Pat Bev tweet on Sunday, and being able to go from him tweeting to having him in studio for 2 days on ESPN, they said, "We'll send you the private jet right now,
Pat." Exactly. Yeah.
Get to New York. Yeah, and he said, like, it started in when he was a kid at the LeBron James camp.
Yes, in high school.
And he gave Chris Paul the work, and he said it's been beef ever since then. And it's like,
what does that even mean?
It just means
he's mad that Chris Paul has gotten Chris Paul's career.
Right. Like, that's
even though he knows like, that he was better like than him in high school.
It sounded like hate. And listen, he said nobody is scared of the Suns. I mean, it's easy to say that now in hindsight because they got their ass kicked. But he said when he goes to play Chris Paul, he's having a nice steak, some wine, sleeping late. He'll sweat out the alcohol at the arena, and then he'll go do what he got to do on the floor. He said when he play Steph Curry, he's going to go to bed at 8. Don't tell all his mom, his girl, don't text me, don't call me. I'm going to sleep because I got to play Steph Curry tomorrow. And it was just like, it was entertaining at the same time.
It's not a performance from him, Russ. It's not.
No, I know he actually feels this.
This is him. Like, we've watched him do this. We've watched him play this out on TV for you. Yeah. Tony, you probably love Pat Beverly, don't you? You love this whole character, probably.
I mean, I'm not going to. I mean, he's from the crib. You know,
I know, of course. I knew that was reason number one you would defend him.
West Side Pat. But yeah, I mean, Pat Bev had to work hard, really hard. Not saying the other players didn't have to work hard, but his path to get to where he's at was difficult. I mean, he had to go overseas. Like, he went to a couple of different colleges. Like, he had to grind for everything that he had to get to, you know, where he's at. So I guess to him, when you're deemed or handed the golden child, mantra, and, you know, he's got his opinions on how Chris Paul has gotten that mantra. I mean, that's his view of the situation. But when you're doing this media thing, right? Because once you're on shows, once they have you as a pundit, even though you're a player, you have taken on the role of, I have to be objective at this point. And it just seemed like hate. Like, I mean, it didn't seem like objective opinion over, you know, or analysis about what happened in that game seven. It just seemed like all hate. And of course, negativity is going to reign supreme in media. So, I mean, it was entertaining, like Russ was saying, but in terms of actual, you know, believability, like, you got to put some stuff in there to kind of help prove your point. If that's how you feel about what happened in that game, like, you got to be like, man, Chris Paul's a great player, or
you need something stronger than I've hated him since high school.
Yeah. Like, you need something, you know, a little bit different than right. Yeah, it's been, I'm at his head ever since high school. Like, no, like, talk about what happened in that game, because the analysts who aren't up in that locker room or haven't been a part of a pro locker room or things like that aren't going to be able to tell what the heck that was. Nobody had an explanation about what. I still have yet to find an explanation about what happened in that game seven game. So that's why they go to Pat Bev, and it was all hate. That's what it seemed like. There was JJ, I think, was the only one trying to give a breakdown, mm-hmm. but he was just kind of JJ Redick, if you guys didn't see it. But I think he was just trying to figure out what Pat Bev was doing. So we never got really any analysis about what that was. So, I mean, I don't know what to do with Pat Beverly. Like, he's going to have a great career, you know, in media if he keeps doing that. So I guess, you know, keep doing what you do, but it's going to be hard for me to separate. Is he hating on this player, or is this his actual analysis?
The network that he appeared on, that's their brand anyway. And for every JJ, you're going to have a Pat Bev, right? Like, First Take is the most successful sports talk show on TV right now. And I wouldn't say that their content is necessarily great. It's just people watch it because it's, I wouldn't call it necessarily salacious, but it is provocative. And that's what Pat Bev provides you. He provides a little bit of, like, analysis, like he was talking about Luka and why teams don't want to see Luka. But yeah, I don't know if it's probably worth it to them as a network giving him a job eventually. Like, it's, I don't view it as how Draymond is going to have a long career in media when he's done, because yeah, he'll give you a little bit of that Pat Bev, but he's going to give you a ton of analysis, a ton of breakdown, a ton of inside the mind of not only the player, but the coach, and break it down for people to watch and really understand, but also entertain. Somebody's going to get paid Pat Bev a lot of money, and I don't think the ROI is going to be what they want it to be.
Yeah, I don't know how long that stays something you want to watch. Like, we all had a lot of fun with that today.
Oh, but, Big, you know, Perk's, Russ, still,
you mentioned,
doing it.
You mentioned,
Go ahead, Tone.
No, I'm saying Big Perk still out here doing it. Pat Bev was just small Kendrick Perkins. They're already paying a guy to do that.
Listen, man, I don't, I've heard, I have feelings about Big Perk on air as a personality. I heard he's a fantastic human being, so that's dope. At the same time, I think you could find a better analyst. And like, I think JJ is fantastic at doing breakdowns and also doing color on games. But look, our business, as much as we might not want to think about it that way, is entertainment. And that's what these executives and networks are making decisions off of.
Well, that outlet in particular is definitely
correct.
Crossed over into being entertainment driven. They did. You mentioned this being on ESPN. ESPN, it's like one of their bags of tricks. Like, it's their Eurostep is we have one of our guys say something, and then we have everybody else spend the rest of the day debating it and disagreeing. Like, they create the news with Pat Beverly saying it, and then they spend the rest of the day making content out of people reacting to it or whatever. And of course, people lined up against Patrick Beverly. Have you seen anything as of the time we're recording this? It's like midnight Tuesday. I don't know if I've seen anyone come out and be like, yeah, Pat Beverly is right. I'm sure there's some people probably thinking it. I'm sure he's not totally alone, but mostly publicly what we're seeing is people line up against him for saying this. Matt Barnes in particular on ESPN ripped him for it and said, like, he called him a clown. He said that Chris Paul's worst season would be your best season. And Matt Barnes, very self-aware, said, like, look, you're a role player, man.
And he's a real exact same player.
Am I. Like, we're not real. Neither of us is really in the sphere to be talking about a Hall of Famer like Chris Paul. You don't have to love Chris Paul. I don't really love Chris Paul. And like Tony said, very importantly, I will never forget that he likes to slap other players in the man area during games. But Chris Paul's really good, man. Chris Paul's, he's earned his way. Like, if you want to talk about, Tony, how Patrick Beverly fought his way to the league, and he did, and he went through all of these different things just to have an NBA career. In a different way, Chris Paul has also earned the status that he has. And if Chris Paul gets calls because of how he's played and worked over the course of his career, that's very common in sports, and particularly in the NBA. That's kind of part of the deal, that if you earn your way to the level that Chris Paul has, you're going to get some of, you're going to be able to finesse the game, as Pat Beverly liked to say.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
One other thing from the NBA playoffs I wanted to talk about, Russ. Now that the conference finals are underway, I was thinking this even before game one of the Miami-Boston series, but now you see Miami wins game one, 118-107. I know that Kyle Lowry was not in that game. Al Horford was not in that game. But still, like, it wouldn't surprise you if Miami was able to kind of control the series for the most part. They're not going to sweep them, I don't think. Game two of that series, by the way, will be Thursday night, the night that the same day that this comes out. Am I crazy to think that Miami is the team that's going to win it all now that Milwaukee and Phoenix are out?
I don't think it's crazy to say anybody who's left besides maybe the Mavs. It's crazy that they win it.
The Warriors are the favorite. The Warriors are the favorite right now in the odds, and you can see why.
Yeah.
But, man, I like what Miami's got.
Like, Jimmy Butler has taken his game to another level. What they can do defensively, the defensive versatility, and the fact they have one of the greatest coaches of all times in Eric Spoelstra, like, I don't think it's crazy to say, hey, I think Miami's the best team left. Cool. If you wanted to say, hey, with the scoring and defensive ability that the Celtics have, and the fact that they got Robert Williams back and he looked really good in his first game back. Ime Udoka has been one of the best coaches in the NBA this year. If you want to say Boston was a team to beat, we know what the Warriors can do. We don't even have to explain that one.
Right.
I don't think it's crazy to say anybody could win besides the Mavs, right? If you said the Mavs were going to win it all, I'd have questions. But if you want to say Luka would average 45 in every game left, cool. That's what makes this playoff so exciting. Like, ratings are up, they announced on Tuesday. The most watched playoff, NBA playoff in 8 years. So, like, it's been really good. And we talked about it when you guys were at the house. Like, the LeBron-less NBA is something that people have always been scared of, but it's actually made the playoffs more entertaining because you have all these super young superstars from around the league and you're like, hey, there, it's wide open in both conferences.
And a lot of the teams are, and the players have been, are really fun to watch. What I don't like is some upstart team makes the finals against a team like a LeBron team. And then, you know, they have no shot. That's not really fun to watch. But when you have like 5 to 7 really good teams that are all pretty equally matched and could all win it, could all conceivably win the whole, Phoenix could have conceivably won the whole thing. Even though things kind of broke bad for them against Dallas, they were good enough that they could have been a championship team this year. When you have that many teams that are all pretty much on even footing and you're getting really good, compelling series, it sets up where you're expecting a really good, compelling finals. When I look at the Heat, I see a team that, like, all right, so as the NFL has gone to, and this is like old, really, really old news at this point, but as the NFL shifted toward such a being so pass heavy, you can do that. That'd be the best thing to be good at, would be have a good quarterback. But the next best thing would be to have pass rushers that can ruin the other team's quarterback. Right. And when you look at how the NBA has become so 3-point driven, we've seen teams emphasize the three. We've seen teams go to, like, you know, Miami has been talking for years about corner three, that's the shot they want. They'll bring in free agents, and what they're going to do is they're going to run till they throw up, and they're going to shoot corner threes also till they throw up, probably. But Miami was number one in 3-point shooting this year and number one in 3-point defense, tied with Boston this year. That is impressive. That is taking this to the next level. That's something Golden State does not have. And when you look at their pieces, if everybody's healthy, if Kyle Lowry comes back, which I think we're expecting he's going to be back at some point during the series, Miami, like, Kyle Lowry is not a long-term, but they've got a three. They've got three guys. With him, Butler, and Bam, that's three. And you really like their pieces with Hero off the bench, with Duncan Robinson as the three-point shooter. Like you said, Spoelstra is one of the best, if not the best coach going right now. There's no reason to me why they couldn't win it. What is it? What, Tom?
No, the NBA, they listed Eric Spoelstra as one of the top 15 head coaches of all time.
He is.
Yeah. So, like, he is. Yeah. Like, in a coaching matchup.
We don't have him, you know, I don't think he's ever named in, the greatest coaches of all time. Currently, you always get Pop, but right there is Eric Spoelstra.
If you ask Pop, Pop would tell you that.
Yeah.
I've heard him say it. I mean, there's people in the game know the job that Eric Spoelstra has done. Tony, I think as we sit here, you know, I think a lot of times when Jimmy Butler was with the Bulls, Jimmy Butler, 41 points in game one. I think that when he was with the Bulls, part of the question was, could he be your number one? Could he be a true number one star on a team? I think he is. I don't think this is just that he's in the, I mean, he is in the right situation in Miami, but I don't think it's contingent around the pieces around him. that he is a legitimate number one player, that you can win a championship with Jimmy Butler as your best player. Do you agree?
Yeah. Over time, it's taken me a minute to get there, but yeah. But that's been the whole narrative. That's why they're not nationally, you know, favored. That's why they're nationally loved. People don't think Jimmy Butler is that guy. And I get it, right? You know, not a lot of superstars come up in the NBA the way he did. Off the bench for a few years. Then because nobody else is around, the team kind of goes to you post Derrick Rose. Then you beef with that team and you go to another team, and then you beef with that team and you go to another team. Like, his story isn't superstar-esque. If we typically have, oh, he's a superstar, let's try and keep him as long as we can until he wants to leave. And then he'll go to another team, and then he'll be a superstar there until that's how, and it's offensively. You don't come up being a superstar, being defense first, and then transition into an elite scorer, efficient, you know, scorer. So all the stuff, all the tropes that we've grown used to in terms of what we depend upon when selecting a champion or selecting our superstars, Jimmy Butler is not. He is brutally honest. He is abrasive. He will cause trouble in terms of aggravating people in on your team, in your front office. But one thing Jimmy wants to do is win. That comes above everything else, but above his ego. He will admit when people are better than him. And I think that's one of his best traits, is he knows what he's not good at and he knows what he's not. So therefore, he emphasizes on what he is and is good at. And I think that makes him a superstar player, not only because he can bring it on both ends, but because he knows what best suits him. He knows his game as good or as better than anybody else. And he's not trying to overextend himself to do stuff that he's not comfortable doing. He's going to do what he does at an elite level, and then you build around that. And I think Miami did that, and they went all in on Jimmy for the first time in his career. A team went all in on Jimmy, and now they're seeing the results from it.
Why is that working, Tone, when it didn't work in these other places?
I think...
because I don't think he's changed.
Oh, no. I think he's been the same. Go ahead, Russ.
Oh, I was going to say, I think he's just a better player now. He's a better player. Like, from, if you look at Jimmy Butler from the bubble on, like, you could make the argument that he was the second best player, and had they won, he would have won finals MVP. Like, he was just as good as LeBron in the 2020 NBA Finals. And so you say, okay, Jimmy was the second best player in the playoffs in 2020 in the bubble. He's been, you know, outside of Giannis, the second best, third best player in this playoff. Jason Tatum has been fantastic, but like, Jimmy's been right there. So I think offensively, he's taking it to another level from the time he was in Chicago, the time he was in Minnesota, when he was in Philly. Like, he's taken all the good from that Jimmy Butler and then turned it up, both offensively and then defensively, as we saw in game one.
Yeah.
Tony told us some false information the other day about Jimmy Butler too, by the way. That was completely unverifiable on the internet. He said, you know what he said? He said it, and we said, no, come on, Tone. And he goes, Google it. So he did, and the first 10 websites, all of them I've never heard of.
But Russ is right about Jimmy. It works, and it finally works, I guess, to say. I think he found a vibe with Pat Riley, because Pat Riley is kind of built similarly. Eric Spoelstra, it's built similarly. He came up as a video coordinator, Eric Spoelstra did. So they understood Jimmy when John Paxson and Gar Forman couldn't, and that the Minnesota Timberwolves were too timid before. They got kind of a Jimmy now in Anthony Edwards, and you're seeing how they're adjusting to that. I love Anthony Edwards. But in Philly, same thing. There's not a lot of people. A lot of people say they want to win, but not a lot of people want to do the stuff necessary to win. And Jimmy is kind of, he's like, Russ, you seen The Wire? Jason, you seen The Wire?
Yeah.
I've not. Sorry. I'm the only person in America that's not seen The Wire.
Who's,
I heard it's great.
Who's the guy that everybody is scared of, that all the gangs are scared of?
Tony, have you seen The Wire?
Wouldn't
you
know the guy's name? I just can't remember his name.
Okay.
Right. He has
Omar.
Omar.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler is Omar because he'll call out your gangster and see if you are really what you say you are. Are you an NBA superstar? Okay, you're going to have to prove it to me. And then when you don't prove it to him, then it's like, what? Why do I have to follow you for? Like, I know you're better than me talent-wise, but you don't want it as bad as I do. So he challenged everybody, every situation that he's ever been in the NBA, and he was all right. He was right about the Bulls. They weren't all in and ready to win because they had a changeover of players and management. He was right about Minnesota. They had changeover players and management. He was right about Philly. They had a changeover of players and management. So Jimmy has been right. He's been calling out people on if they actually want to win. And now Pat Riley, he rocks with that. And now they're winning. So I think out of all the things, those, I think, is the reasons why that is working now.
I have one quick thing before we leave NBA. Jason Tatum has had a fantastic NBA playoffs and has really kind of ascended into that next level of superstar. How many players in the world are better than Jason Tatum right now?
Oh, that's a tough. That's, I mean,
three, four.
I was gonna say three, Tony. So right now I have Jason. Where would you say it before I say the names in front?
I would have said probably offhand without having a list prepared in front of me. Like he'd be like the eighth best player in the NBA.
Ooh.
Don't act like that's some kind of insult that he'd be the eighth best player in the NBA.
I think lowest right now, he's fifth, but I really think he's fourth. I have Giannis, Jokic, and KD all being above him. And then right there at 4, 5, 6, Tatum's in there, Steph's in there, Embiid's in there, Luka's in there. Healthy Dame's in there.
We can't say that.
Right, that's it.
You're splitting hairs at a certain point there with
guys. Right, which is why I said that four is kind of where.
Yeah.
But I think that's the list of the top players in the world to me. And I think he's taking it to another level where it's like, I would have him better than Bron. Personally, like if I'm to have to pick, and I'm like,
I'm taking Tatum
over Bron.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, LeBron's not playing any defense at this point in his career.
No.
And Tatum's playing all the defense.
Yeah. He's bought into being a defender, too.
Yeah. 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 He's, Jokic, Giannis, in no particular order.
No, it is a particular order. It's Giannis, then Jokic. If you're going to do it like that.
Luka, Tatum. Any combination of that you want to put, I'm not going to argue down. I think, Tatum, he's knocked out KD. He's knocked out, some heavy hitters.
Trey, KD, Kyrie.
Like, I mean, Giannis. if Chris Middleton plays, I think Milwaukee wins that series.
I think Milwaukee wins.
It is what it is. He beat you.
Correct.
So he's in that conversation.
No, I honestly just want to have the conversation because it seemed to the natural way the game goes is young guys have these moments, your young superstars have the moments where they take the baton and say, okay, I'm him. And he's clearly shown in this playoff run that he is him.
He is in the playoffs, Russ. He is averaging 28.3 points and shooting 39% from three. In addition to the defense he's playing and the overall all around game he's playing.
Are we disrespecting Jimmy by not putting him in there? I think he's averaging like 28 in the playoffs. I'm like, shooting.
Yeah, 50 he's.
I mean, percent from the field.
The newer guys are always going to get a little bit of a.
I don't think he's better than anybody we just listed. He's not better than the top four. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You could say because Dame ain't played now in almost 2 years. Really, you could say it's Jimmy Dame, but he's not better than like. I still think of very highly of Steph, as I know you do. Mm-hmm. So it's hard for me to be like, this dude's better than Steph. Because
that's the part that's hard to make that list for me. Because it's like, I don't know, for like one game right now today, I might still want LeBron or I might still want Curry. LeBron's going to play defense if it's a playoff game. He's not going to take plays. He's going to give you like 44 minutes and good defense in a playoff game.
I think we're doing the same thing the world is with Jimmy, man. Like,
I think very highly. I think very highly of Jimmy. I think very highly of Jimmy. You know what? Honestly, all right, put Jimmy in there. But like, it's the same conversation. Even if we put Jimmy in the group of players that we talked about, it's now this jumble of 5 through 10 or 5 through 11.
Yeah,
I would. Is it more respectful to say, yo, we'll put them in the group, but then we'll pick the names out of the hat to decide the order, you know?
Because here's my thing. Like, Miami's not even – they've been – if Phoenix is the best team, Miami mm-hmm. was the second best team all year. Jimmy has raised his level of play when it mattered, and nobody has seemed to have stopped him just yet. Like, they're not even favored in this series. And I just feel like Jimmy's going to make us eat our words by not having him in this conversation and not like thinking the Miami Heat have a legitimate shot to win this thing. And like, I'm not saying they're going to sweep anybody, but like handily win this, like without a doubt, like with no flukes or anything like that. And it just feels like Jimmy might do that this year. Forcing
you won me over. You won me over. I would take Jimmy Butler over Jason Tatum for a game right now today. But part of what happens when you debate this is you, when you're talking about the newer guys, the younger guys, you are, whether you realize it or not, factoring in their upside. But if we're talking about a game right now today, yeah, I would take Jimmy Butler. You're right, Tom.
Yeah, but Jimmy's what, 30 now? 31? 32. I saw Jason Tatum put 46 on Giannis's head at 23 years old. Like, I'm still taking Jason Tatum, and I think so highly of Jimmy. Like, I
was not that highly though. Not that highly.
Well, yeah, but I think it shouldn't be disrespectful because I'm not going to take him over Jason Tatum. But he's still in my top players in the world. Like, I was one of those people that when the Bulls made that trade, they got Zach and the draft picks that ended up being Lowry and Chris Dunn. I was like, mm-hmm. terrible. They're going to regret it. And then people would always come back at me with, Jimmy's been on two teams since. Jimmy's been on three teams since. And I'm like, yeah, Jimmy's been the best player on two teams that have gone to the finals. Or like, oh, if they make it to the finals this year, that would have been two teams that go to the finals. Right? And like, he gets the bad guy label. Whatever. That guy has been to a finals, was arguably just as good as LeBron in the one that he lost and could potentially go back to the finals this year and is an even better player than he was the last time he was in the finals. I agree with Tony. We do have to start putting some respect on Jimmy's name.
He was 27 when they traded him, Russ. I mean, he's given you would have signed, you would have had to give him a 5-year contract. He'd have been worth it. He'd have been worth every penny of a 5-year contract.
Gentlemen, I've had some different experiences over the last couple of weeks, and I wanted to share them with you as far as house etiquette, right? When people come to your home, when you guys are in your home, I'm curious to find out if you guys do things similarly to me. Maybe not. Maybe Tony, maybe you do. But Jason, for different reasons, you might not. And that's totally fine. But
so what are the reasons that you're making an assumption?
You're bald-ish. I'm not. That could be a reason. Like, we just do things differently. You get colder, right? I do not.
I get colder?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you don't have anything up top to keep you.
Oh, okay. All right. Because of my bald head. Got it.
There you go. There you go.
All right.
All right. So somebody comes into your home.
Yes.
Right. You're saying hello. Hey. Oh, hi. How you doing? Do you ask people to take their shoes off or not?
I don't think I would ever do that. I have hardwood floors, so it's not really that big of a, I don't have carpet in the main area of the house, but I just don't want to be doing that. I don't think I'd be telling people to take their shoes off.
Tone?
I think pre-engagement single Tony would be like, do what you do. I don't really care either way. I got to mop and sweep eventually anyway. But definitely I can predict post-engagement, post-married Tony Gill, people will be taking their shoes off in the home.
What if I don't want to?
I mean, I don't know. I haven't thought about that scenario.
There you go. Do you want to, that's where you want to draw the line with your friends.
You'll go to jail for them until they refuse to take their shoes off of your
house. What was the right answer, Russ? What do you do?
Well, I always ask people to take their shoes off.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. Always.
And because it's I just came to your house, though, and you did not ask.
You left shoes off. The only reason I let you do it was because when you were walking in, you were also holding a baby. So it wasn't like you were just coming in alone. You were holding a baby and the baby carrier and his his little sleep thingy.
Crib?
So
yes.
Yeah, there you go, Tony. My bad. You know,
I can play.
Guy who doesn't have a kid. sleep thingy.
We almost like rebooted the Hangover movies because Russ has been trying to get us together for a while and it keeps not working out because of different schedules. And then he wanted to do it last week. And I was like, this isn't really going to work out either because my wife's out of town. So I'm home alone with the baby. And Russell's like, bring the baby. So I was like, well, I mean, he goes to sleep at 7 o'clock. Okay. All right.
And it worked out perfectly. Like
it did.
He was enjoying himself, laid him down. We enjoyed the game, watching Tony gyrate against our will.
The baby didn't have to watch any of it. The baby
I should have been in the play crib with him in here because I didn't want to see it either. But that was the only reason I told you. I didn't tell you anything because you're holding the baby, you're doing other things, and you had other things to worry about. But normally I would have been like, yo, you might, because I have the shoe thing right by the door.
You do. You have a little shoe rack right when you walk in. I noticed that after I came in. I guess I always feel like you know if you need to take your shoes off. Like if your shoes are clean, then you're probably fine. But if you know you have like really dirty shoes, then you would know to take them off. I wouldn't need to tell you. I guess that's kind of how I look at it.
All right. The other thing was,
do you instinctively take your shoes off when you go to someone's house if they don't
ask? I think it's polite to assume that they would like you to.
Oh.
And then if they say, oh, you don't have to do that, then you're fine.
Hmm.
But I know more people that would like you to than not.
Hmm.
The other thing, so recently had a guest over and that person had come to visit and they had taken the L.
Okay.
Right? Had taken the L and came to the apartment. And that person was about to sit on my bed. And right as that person was attempting to sit, I grabbed the person politely, respectfully. And said, yo, you were just sitting on the L. You can't sit on my bed with L clothes on because I know what happens on the L.
So when you go to Russ's house, you got to take off not only your shoes, but also your pants. Got it.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
But my point is, I don't also, it wouldn't have been just been that person. Like, I don't sit on my bed in outside clothes. So, like...
Okay.
Jeans and stuff like that. I'm not just sitting on my bed that I sleep in with outside clothes. So my question to you, Jason Leisure, do you sit on your bed or allow people to sit on your bed with outside clothes?
Nobody really goes in our bedroom besides me and my wife.
Yeah, Russ, that's where things happen.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you.
I got you, Jason.
It's not just some bench.
Yeah.
No, I guess I don't. I never really thought about it, but I don't really go in my bedroom at all unless I'm going in there to go to sleep. So like I don't just like while I'm looking around for a place to sit, go sit on my bed in my clothes. I never would have really thought of it. I assume I'm clean at all times. Like I'm a very cleanly person. So I assume like my shoes are clean, my clothes are clean, I smell good pretty much all the time.
That's true.
You're assuming that good. I don't.
No. I
smelled you. You smell good.
Thank you. Thank you, Tony. Thank you.
Tony.
He would know. He would know.
But no, I get it. I get it.
We've had very intimate encounters.
See?
Friends.
I was just going to say, like, you understand why I wouldn't want somebody to sit on my bed after having sat on the L.
I would be uncomfortable sitting on another person's bed, period. I'd be like, this is kind of a weird... I shouldn't be sitting on another... That's too intimate.
That's too intimate, yeah. Unless things are about to get hot and heavy. That's too intimate.
But you could see why you wouldn't want somebody to sit on your bed and clothes that they've sat on the L with.
I would have never put that together if I was you, honestly. I get what you're saying. I do. But it would have never occurred to me that, oh, this person's rubbed their butt all over the L. I don't want them sitting on my bed.
I've seen some wild things on the L.
Would you have let them sit on the couch?
So part of this,
instinctually you have to say yes, but it's like, I don't love it.
Well, I mean, it's like, what do you, I mean, I don't know what you want from that person. Right. Like, it's like, if they're coming to see you, visit you, and they're taking public transportation and it's like, do you need them to take off all their clothes, insert it into the wash?
You make it sound, it sounds more worse when you say that like that. But it's
are they supposed to bring extra clothes to visit you?
It's not a move, Jason. Shut up. But I've seen people pee on the L. I've seen people take a shit on the L. I've seen people throw up on the L. And having lived in the city of Chicago my entire life, I have all that knowledge in my head where I'm like, I know how you got here. And while I appreciate it, let's not sit on the bed with L clothes.
Like, what was the solution? What is your solution in that scenario?
Well, I can't finish the rest of the story on my podcast, but I can say it's not a move. I wouldn't have let y'all sit on my bed with L clothes on.
Would you love to sit on
the couch? Everyone. Hi, welcome to my home. One of my house rules here is you have to take off all your clothes.
I didn't say that.
If you've been anywhere else.
Dr. Jerry Russ.
Stop it. Stop it.
Oh, I was just in my car. I've seen people throw up in your car. Okay, all right. I think part of what's at play is that you're single and you've been living on your own for a while. And so you have total control over everything that happens in your apartment. You don't have to. I'm not saying that you couldn't, but you have not had to coexist with other people. I got five people living in my house. Tony, you got probably about 30. That number, five or six, something like that. Maybe more now, Jaws around. Like, you got to be, I am a particular person too, like you. Mm-hmm. But I've been forced to kind of like, you're forced to acclimate and let some stuff go when you live with other people. So maybe that's made me kind of less picky overall. I would never have somebody come over and then, as they sat down on my couch, consider all the other places they might have sat that day.
And then told them, stand up during this whole visit, please. Thank you.
Either stand up or take your pants off. Right. Those are the rules at Russ's house.
Oh, my God. Don't say that.
See, okay. But here's the thing, though. Like, we hung out at your house at night. And while I do consider myself a very clean and good smelling person, I got to imagine that if I took my shoes off at the end of the day, it's not going to smell great.
I mean, you have clean socks on, yeah?
Yeah, but it's like 8 o'clock at that point. I've been wearing them all day.
Oh,
it's fair.
I mean, if they're
like clean, you might not like that experience either.
If your socks are clean and your shoes don't stink, you're probably fine.
Probably.
Did the deed still get done? Or did that, was that a mood ruiner?
Well, Russell overlook anything at that point.
Stop it. All right. Segment over.
Tony, you got button. Tony, you got all your gadgets ready? Hit the button for bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
This is bullshit.
Time to call out the world's hypocrisies with
bullshit. High quality bullshit. World-class designer bullshit, to be sure.
Bullshit. Presented by Sheets and Giggles.
They just say whatever they think will interest the audience or make it appear that they know what they're talking about. And what comes out is bullshit.
Let's call some bullshit, Russ. I Call Bullshit is brought to you by Sheets and Giggles, our buddies over there with incredible 100% eucalyptus sheets and other bedding like duvets, duvet covers, comforters, the heavy throw eucalyptus blanket. It is this, all this stuff is like the, just the softest stuff you can put on your bed. It's fantastic. If you get nothing else, go on and get the sheet set. That's a game changer for your bed. They call it the sheet set, and they're right to call it that. They are right to have such bravado. You can get 23% off, by the way, at Sheets and Giggles if you go to them through our link, which is sheetsgiggles.com/SA. It will automatically apply the 23%. You don't even need to remember a promo code or anything. Sheets and Giggles. Russ, what would you like to call bullshit on?
I'm calling bullshit on the Phoenix Suns. For all the reasons that we mentioned earlier, they got embarrassed on their floor, down as much as 46 points in a game 7 in their building. And after the game, you had DeAndre Ayton didn't talk to the media. Devin Booker and Luka, it was going back and forth with Luka throughout the series. Him and Chris Paul didn't even have a bucket in the first half of that game. You got Chris Paul no showing. It was just a horrific look. And you said earlier when we were talking about it, there's been a lot of like bad games for people, but that's like an all timer. Like, we'll remember that game.
Oh, Phoenix Dallas 10, game 7?
15, 20. Yes. Yeah. Like that, it will be one that lives in our minds as basketball fans worldwide forever.
The NBA playoffs are so much fun, but it's like, man, you get excited when there's a game 7.
Yeah.
And that just makes it so much more of a letdown. So you're calling bullshit on the entire Phoenix Suns. You could call bullshit on their entire organization for the entire past year, I think, probably.
I don't want to call bullshit on Monty Williams.
It's been a season of bullshit.
I mean, Robert Sarver.
Yep.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I remember that.
That's what I was thinking of.
But we talked to, or Monty Williams, like, took the blame in the game. It's like, as the head coach, that's what you got to do. Mm-hmm. And said, like, maybe I rode these guys too hard during the regular season, because obviously they had the best record in the NBA and didn't have it when they really needed it in the playoffs. But like, I can't blame Monty Williams, who won Coach of the Year. Like, it's not like he can go out there. He can't go out there and play at the end of the day.
But this is,
he can't go out there and show up for his play. Like, they have to go out there and make buckets. They have to go out there and try.
But, I mean, he didn't do anything to kind of, you know, change the strategy. Right, like they were picking on Chris Paul after a while, and it's like, I mean, what's the next move? You got to be thinking in game. Like, I felt like he was, you know, Budenholzer, where you just don't.
You gonna take Chris Paul out of the game?
If Chris Paul is continually to be awful like he was the last,
are you going to take Chris Paul out of the game?
Yes.
No, you're not. Yes. No coach in the NBA is going to do that, Tony.
I'm not saying take him out for the entirety of the game. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, he needs to be a better in-game coach. When you see it slipping away that early, you got to address the players and say, hey, what's going on out there? What's happening? What am I not seeing that has this lackluster effort early? Okay, you're not bringing it? Okay, come sit down right here. I got to switch something up. Or I got to switch up the way that we're playing them, because what you're doing is not working, and it's his job to figure out why isn't it working.
All right, Luka's turning Chris Paul into barbecue chicken. You take them and bench them for however, whatever period of time. They're still not getting, they scored 27 points in the half.
In a half, they scored 27 points. How is that Monty Williams' fault?
I'm not saying it's all his fault.
Devin Booker got zero buckets in the first half. Chris Paul had zero buckets.
There was enough blame to go around for everybody.
Yeah, they deserve the majority.
But I don't know about the majority, but everybody.
They had 27 points, home.
I don't know about the majority because I thought watching that game, I don't think it was a well-coached game at all.
I don't think if you're losing by 50 at some point in that game, it's the coach's fault. Like, that shouldn't happen in the NBA.
In a game seven of all games.
Hey, he sets the tone. He sets the mood for that roster. Either they quit on him.
I thought Chris Paul was the best leader in the NBA.
Did they stop listening to him?
Even if they did, I thought Chris Paul was the best leader in the NBA, or so I was told the last 10 years. Why did he get his guys up for a game seven? Why should it all fall on the coach?
I didn't say it was all his fault. I said he deserves some of that blame,
it
too.
It sounds like it.
That's on his record, too.
Like you giving it all.
No, no, no.
Tony didn't like that you spared him of some of the bullshit. Tony wanted to smear a little on him,
too. Yeah, he needs to be on there, too.
I'm Monty Williams. I'm calling bullshit on Jeannie Buss. Jeannie Buss tweeted about... Jeannie Buss is the only person I really want to hear from about winning time. But she tweeted something saying everyone already knows what she thinks about winning time, which I don't. I have not been able to find any of her thoughts online. I guess that's her way of saying she doesn't like it. And that the only way she knew about part of it was that someone sent her a clip. I'm not buying that, man. That's the bullshit. She's watched this show. No matter how rich and famous and successful and whatever you are, if HBO is blowing out some kind of big, wild series about you and your family, you're going to check that out. And this, Russ, this brings me to one of the biggest pieces of bullshit that you run into all the time as a reporter is the people you cover, the athletes and the coaches in particular, claiming that they don't read anything, that they don't read or watch anything. Right. And they always do. I have had twice in my career where I met the coach's wife at some event. And the first thing she said to me was, oh, you're the one that wrote this, and some recent column. You think she knows what I wrote, but her husband doesn't?
He does not, yeah.
Yeah. These guys, all of them that say they don't read, you know they do. And you usually find out that they do. And they might say, oh, I don't read anything. Just the PR guy sends me stuff I need to know about. Well, then you're reading.
Right.
Yeah, that's all 100% bullshit. Because, like, just the human factor. Even though I may not like what's being said about me, somebody's talking about me. So if HBO does an entire piece of content on you, you're watching that piece of content.
Real quick on as it's germane to the topic at hand.
Yes.
So because they're using real names in Winning Time, you have to assume the people being mentioned are getting paid. Yeah.
I don't know if there's like some creative license when it's based on the book. I don't know. I really don't know, man.
Because if I'm Jerry West and HBO comes to me and says, yo, yes, we use your name, your name, image, and likeness to take from college football and basketball right now. Here's a check for $100,000. At that point, do you just drop your suit and go home?
Does he drop his Supreme Court challenge that he's working on at that point for $100,000?
Because I would. $100,000.
Russ's dignity has a price, and it turns out it's $100,000.
Yeah, I know. I'm confident who I am. I'm Russ's confident who he is.
You know what? It's not true. All you got to say is it's not true. You know what? I'm at the bank.
Tony would be thrilled. Tony would take that check and be like, I wasn't even mad. I love how wild you made me look. Like, that was fun. That was fun to watch.
It doesn't matter.
I wish I was living that crazy. Thanks for the money.
It doesn't matter what you think of me. God, it doesn't matter what God thinks of me.
Honestly, that's 100% what Tony would say in the doc. But he'd be like, but it's 100% true. Yeah.
What are you calling bullshit on, Tone?
Oh, yeah. So are you guys familiar with Michelle Tafoya?
Yes.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Former Monday Night Football sideline reporter, right?
Yes. Did her job very well.
Current Twitter troll.
She has made this turn post leaving Sunday Night Football that was, it has been really surprising, but then not surprising at the same time with some of the stuff that she's saying. But she had a tweet about 4 days ago. So apparently she's listening to Bally Sport West. And she says this, tweets this out in, from her verified account. This is not Tony Gill, you know, falsities here. She says, at Angels Broadcast and at them, enough with the Ohtani and at Ohtani baseball chatter and then at Bally Sport West. What is she doing?
So a couple things. One, that wasn't even Shohei Ohtani's Twitter handle, which is funny. Two, she tweets this the night he hits his 100th big league homer in just 3 seasons. He might be the most exciting player in the game right now. You can't talk about Shohei Ohtani enough. She's done, I didn't know until somebody put me on to what she had been doing post Sunday Night Football.
She's a wild girl.
Wild girl out here. Wildest of girls. It's nasty. It's sad. And at the end, like, you don't even want to give it energy because it's on brand for, how do I say this? The group or people groups that she is a part of or wants to be a part of. And we've seen it recently, especially in the last 5 years or so, 6 years or so, in the US of A. But nah, it's nasty. And it's one of those things where, like, you don't even want to give somebody like that any attention anymore to fuel them.
Yeah, that's what I'm calling bullshit on. She's just, oh man, she is certainly
it's going a off joke. The deep end. It's a joke. It's clown so, shit.
Yeah.
And clown it, shit.
Man.
This wild. Particular tweet was a little haphazard, I think, because I think she meant to say that they were spending too much time on the broadcast talking about the actual ball that he'd hit. I didn't see the broadcast because she clarifies this tweet later that she wasn't trying to come against Ohtani himself. That it was just they were kept talking. They wouldn't stop talking about the actual ball. But I do like that she got the that she tried to tag Ohtani in the tweet. I don't know why you would do that in the first place, but that she got it wrong and she picked this person. I'm looking at this. This is someone named Ohtani, and the tweets are all in some language I don't understand. And the person has 99 followers, although one of them is Barack Obama.
I just it's well,
Barack
easy
Obama for- might have made the same mistake actually following the wrong Ohtani.
She can say that now, but the rhetoric I've heard her use in recent months would lead me to believe otherwise.
Well, one way or another, Tony's got some bullshit he's calling out on Michelle Tafoya. I Call Bullshit is brought to you by Sheets and Giggles. Again, you can go to sheetsgiggles.com/SA and get 23% off amazing, luxurious, soft, silky smooth eucalyptus sheets. We highly recommend everything they have. You don't need any kind of promo code. You can get that 23% off just by going to sheetsgiggles.com/SA. Russ, would you like to hear the news we didn't get to today?
Yes, please.
Okay. There's some. There's
never
some.
Ask me, Jason. I'm interested in news and tidbits.
Yeah, false news and false tidbits.
Tony, would you like to hear stuff that I read off on the internet.com?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay. Anyway, Russ, are you familiar with world famous DJ Steve Aoki?
I am.
Well, he got the great honor and privilege of throwing out the first pitch at Fenway Park on Monday. And as often happens in these scenarios, it did not go very well. He took kind of a running start and then threw it up on top of the netting behind home plate. And I think this is as good a time as any for us to go to Ross Dursey, Sports Adjacent's MLB insider, to tell us what happened here, Russ. Ross.
A dude that hasn't thrown a baseball ever was asked to throw a baseball.
That's good analysis. Wow. That makes sense. You know, the baseball card company Topps, they do this. They've been doing this thing. I don't know how long they've been doing this, but I just became aware of it. They have been making like instant cards. I forget what their name for it is, but they make a card off moments that happen in sports. They made a card off the Steve Aoki wild first pitch that they're selling online for $10. Although it was only available for one day. So by the time you hear this, it's already too late. Odell Beckham. Currently unsigned, although we all kind of assume he's going to go to the Rams. Are you hoping he comes to the Bears, maybe?
I mean, yes, but...
It wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, it could only help.
It wouldn't help him very much. I don't see why he'd want to do that.
Yes, it's selfish reasons.
I was thinking that when Jarvis Landry signed with the Saints, I was thinking the Bears probably could have used him. And then I was thinking, yeah, but he wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah, if it was go to the Bears or go to the Saints and go back home, I'm going back home.
Well, Odell Beckham, while he remains unsigned, he put out a video of him and his three-month-old son in which he is tucking a football under his son's arm, trying to teach him how to carry it, and quoting Remember the Titans saying, if you drop a ball, you run a mile. And what amused me about this is that while Odell Beckham is just joking around, I could picture Tony doing something like this with his kid in a serious way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Somebody's going to the league. Yeah. Either Ja or my kid or my brother, my other brother's kid. Somebody's going to the league.
How are you going to pressure a kid that's not even yours?
Oh, yeah. It's still going. They know it. They know it. They know what it is.
That's not your the boy is not your child.
Russ, see if you can guess. See if you can guess which Gil brother is Ja's crazy uncle.
I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say it is Anthony Gil.
My brother has a similar idea to Tony though. Like, and I think he's serious when he says this. My brother Jake says that when he has a baby, he's going to like put the baby in the middle of the floor. Assuming it can crawl in this case, I guess. And he's going to surround it with sports objects that are like a circle of sports objects, like sporting equipment. And whatever the baby crawls to, he's going to just go 100% in on whatever that is. So if the baby crawls to a tennis racket, then he's going to be in tennis lessons when he's 2 years old. But then he also said if the baby crawls toward a sport that he doesn't like, he's just going to put him back in the middle and make him do it again. Jake's got a lot of ideas.
I'm a fan of Jake.
I think he's a fan of yours too. College football news, Russ, a big incoming transfer for Oklahoma. They have landed Tyler Junior College quarterback, General Booty. Go ahead, Tom.
Yo.
His middle name is Axel. The kid's got a name, General Axel Booty.
I don't have any information. Is he any kin to John David Booty, who used to play quarterback at USC?
That sounds like a question for the producer. I don't know.
Or the probably. Guy that puts it out there.
Probably. Tony, Let me look that up for you, though. While I got you. I got you. You're right. I should have had it. You're correct. Let me look that up for you while Tony tells us here a little bit about General Booty.
And now, Tony Gill reads.
Fellas, what's going on? Glad to be back. Tony Gill with glasses here, everybody. And we got some info on that booty. General Booty.
Russ, you liked that. Come on.
It was pretty good. I'm not going to lie.
General Booty, quoted in 2020 Dallas Morning News profile headline. Yes, General Booty is his real name.
I'm a warrior. Headline.
Tony. Yeah, I can't get into the joke, Jason, but trust me, it was funny.
Obviously, my name's an attention grabber. Whoa. And people like to do headlines.
This is General Booty being quoted while he's in high school.
And people like to do headlines with it. But I like to show people with my play that I can back it up to.
Whoa. Yo, my God. Oh, my God. He knew exactly what he was saying in this.
I have done that.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to continue to do that. And then give them a reason to remember my name. You got your wish, kid. Didn't have to do a single thing.
Oh, him man said, I can back it up, too, and will continue to. I said, oh, my God.
That's I think funny. People will definitely remember his name. Russ, I've done some producing while I had him.
Okay.
His grandfather is Johnny Booty, who played quarterback at Arkansas. And Johnny Booty had four sons. One was Josh Booty. And then there was General's father, Abram, who played wide receiver.
Oh, my gosh.
Abram Booty played wide receiver at LSU and was briefly with the Cleveland Browns. And John David Booty is the Southern California player that you were thinking of.
Ah, there you go.
And then Johnny Booty's youngest son, Jake, was also an All-State quarterback in Louisiana. So a lot of good booty there.
Oh, my goodness.
Does that rank, what does that rank on the list of all-time names? I got Mendick way up on top of the list. White Sox player.
White Sox pitcher Mendick. Danny Mendick.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and who's your favorite guy you always talk about? The coldest.
Oh, yeah.
Don't
the,
you always?
The coldest to ever do it, Crawford?
Yeah. I like how he is. I like how General Booty is quoted in that story saying, yeah, people like to make headlines about it. And the headline of that story in the Dallas Morning News is, yes, his name is really General Booty. It's kind of lazy to make wordplay off this guy's name. It's just, it's too easy, you know?
The guy's the funny part is his name is General, which is wild. But like his pop's name is Abram.
that one gets you more. Huh? That made you laugh more than General Booty.
Yes, like Abram. Like this is a biblical, very biblical name. And then we'll just throw General on there, our son.
It's been a tough year for Oklahoma football. So it's nice to see them get some booty. And finally, Russ. A very amusing story from the UK in a town called, this is a tough one. This is a lot of letters. I should have made Tony try to pronounce this. I believe it is called Aberystwyth, Wales. So have you ever seen like a bench, like a public bench or at a college or something? And there's like a little memorial on the, like a memorial plaque on the bench. Like this bench is in honor of so-and-so. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
So there was a bench on the grounds of Aberystwyth Castle that had, usually these plaques have something very touching on them, very heartfelt. This one was interesting. This plaque on the bench said, in loving memory of Hugh Davies, who used to sit here and shout F- off at the seagulls. Apparently there is a big seagull problem there. This is kind of overlooking the sea. So you have seagulls coming and they're very known for coming and stealing food. But that plaque was put there, not by the people at Aberystwyth Castle, but they said that it was an unauthorized plaque and they've had it removed, which is much to the dismay of the people there who were enjoying taking selfies in front of it and putting that on social media. I think whenever I go, I want you to do one for me where it says, in loving memory of Jason Leisure, who used to sit here and yell bleep off at Tony Gill.
It's needed.
RP, man. RP, shout out to him.
That is going to do it for this week's edition of Sports Adjacent. As always, we like to thank our fantastic sponsor, Sheets and Giggles, for not only providing us with fantastic sheets, but giving you guys the opportunity to also have fantastic sheets. You can get 23% off your next order at sheetsgiggles.com/SA. You don't have to put in a promo code. You just click the link. It automatically applies it, whatever you want. Duvet covers, pillows, the mattress coming soon. They got tons of colors, whatever fits your bed set. They got it. sheetsgiggles.com/SA. Make sure you're listening to the podcast. You guys have been sharing the clips. Make sure you keep sharing the clips. Tell your friends about the pod, but make sure you're downloading it too on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your audio content. Gentlemen, anything we need to let the people know before we let them go?
Tony, sell those Sheets and Giggles, man. Give them one of your classic endorsements for Sheets and Giggles.
Fam. Sports Adjacent family. I told you for Mother's Day, all right? Get soft so you can get hard, all right? We're going to double down on that, all right? The Father's Day is coming up. The men need love, too. So, ladies, what I'm going to tell you is get soft so you can get it hard, all right? Get soft so you can get it hard, all right? That's what we're doing all Father's Day. Respect your man. Respect the dads in your lives. Respect the father of your children, all right? Sheets and Giggles. Let's go. 23% off. Sheetsandgiggles.com/essay.
That is easily the most inappropriate thing I've ever heard Tony say.
You also got the website wrong.
Yeah, it's
but,
not.
But that's like the least of my concerns. Yeah, after you know what?
At this point, we'll have the right link up. We got to get out of here. We will catch you guys next week.
Jeez.
Damn it, Tony.
Thanks for listening to Sports Adjacent with Jason Leisure and Russell Dorsey. Be sure to download, subscribe, and give the podcast 5 stars. You can check out the latest episode of Sports Adjacent on all digital streaming platforms.
I'm very much adjacent. For a couple hours, I thought I was hood. But then all that happened, I was like, you know what, James? You adjacent to the mother.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hurry into Menards and save big money. Stock up on water softener salt for softer skin and cleaner clothes. Diamond Crystal is the perfect choice of salt to minimize water softener tank residue. It helps your soaps and detergents clean better while increasing the life of your appliances and plumbing. Save big on Diamond Crystal products at Menards. And don't forget to check out the flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.